Yo, what up guys, it's me Zach Lee, and welcome back to episode 4 of The Dish. So we got a very special episode for you guys today. We got NBA Storyteller from YouTube. He's an upcoming YouTuber. I suggest you guys check his content out if you haven't already. It's some pretty interesting stuff in the NBA world. I don't think there's anything quite like it out there right now, but you want to say what's up?
Thank you very much for having me on the pod. I appreciate it. I look forward to talking about some stuff today.
All right, and then we got our other usual co-host. We got Beasles.
What up, everybody? Welcome back. Dish Podcast, episode number 4. Let's get it started.
And then Dom Church, a.k.a. the LeBron hater, a.k.a. the Jordan hater, a.k.a. the hater.
First of all, sir, I am not a LeBron hater. I am LeBron's biggest fan. Second of all, it's your boy Dom Church 97. Your mom's favorite midnight snack. How you guys doing?
All right. On that note, we got to talk about championships today. Of course, the most important thing in basketball is winning championships. If you're not in the league trying to win championships, then you're going to get looked down and you're going to get called Carmelo Anthony. No one wants to be called Carmelo Anthony. So speaking of championships, the 3 most impressive championships of all time. What are they to you guys? What teams wowed you?
I mean, listen. For me, number one, gotta be 2016. Coming down from 3-1 has never been done before, and it's the way he did it. The man said, I am going to exhort all of my goatliness to win this championship, and that's what he did. He just said, I am that guy. Now, second, I'm gonna have to give respect to my man Hakeem Olajuwon. There is no player to ever be the only individual superstar on the team and win a championship. There's barely players that can make it to the finals as the only superstar. He did it with him and just role players and then reloaded with Clyde Drexler. So I got to give respect to his. And I would probably say MJ's. Wasn't it one like on his dad's? Not on Father's Day after his dad died.
You give it MJ respect?
I told you, I respect as a basketball player. Bro? I got to respect MJ. But, you know, as a person,
this is weird.
As a person,
this
fuck Michael Jordan. I'm just saying. It is what it is.
I have to remind myself that you're a Lakers fan, and maybe that's why you didn't mention the 04 Pistons dethroning Kobe
Jesus
Bryant
Christ,
and Shaquille O'Neal. Because on my list, that's number 2.
Jesus, I
got to be realistic about this. I do agree that 2016, it has to be up there. Coming back from 3-1, first time it's ever been done in the NBA Finals, at least. But yeah, that was extremely impressive. But then for the 04 Pistons, that's really what got me into basketball. That was something like, of course, I had never seen before. Probably will never see again. That was a team of misfits and nobodies.
Misfits dethroning, and nobodies.
Dethroning Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal in 5 games. They said they could have swept them if they wanted to, but they wanted to win on their home court. So we had some mercy for the Lakers. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. And then
mercy.
And then you said something about Hakeem Olajuwon being the only superstar duo by himself. I gotta disagree because I gotta give Dirk some props here. In 2011,
I always think about that.
In 2011,
yeah.
No one expected the Dallas Mavericks to have a single chance against the Miami Heat. And yet they won.
Superstar,
granted, it
though.
Did have to do with LeBron choking. It had to do with LeBron choking, but at the end of the day, the Mavericks, with Dirk Nowitzki and his team of, you know, supporting players for the most part, was able to beat the big three.
I mean, hold on, but was Dirk a superstar?
What?
I mean, was he a superstar? I mean, he was a great player. I mean, that team, I mean...
So that has to be even more impressive than Hakeem Olajuwon.
No, I want to say more impressive because I'm just saying that team, it wasn't just Dirk. That team was very special in its own ways. Like, that team had aspects of it that made them a championship team.
So when did Dirk become Dirk then?
I mean, Dirk was Dirk, but was Dirk ever...
Was it when he won MVP? I mean,
okay.
Was that the year?
You know what? I'm throwing dirt on Dirk's name. You got me. I'm hating on Dirk. Let me stop. I got to pay respect to Dirk. He's a superstar. You got me. Okay.
I mean, the man was unstoppable.
But was... You're right. You got it. You got it.
On the offense.
42%.
Unstoppable.
Is that it? I don't know, but
times have changed since then. Players...
See, but do you have to be a superstar to win an MVP? Was Derrick Rose really a superstar? What?
Chalo, he was a superstar.
He was a great player,
but was he a superstar?
I mean, he was a superstar back then. He was. No one predicted, no one saw this fall off coming when he won that MVP.
He was a superstar.
He was a superstar.
All right.
I think sometimes, I honestly think sometimes that first MVP is what makes people superstars.
That's
right. In retrospect. When you look back at it, you're like, that was his year. That was the year they became a superstar. It all gets kind of mushed together. That's what I think.
Many of some players who are superstars and never won MVP, like Kawhi Leonard.
I mean, listen, don't get me wrong. That's a great point. Mm-hmm. But it's just when we talk about Derrick Rose and you say, yeah, he was a superstar after that. Was he really?
He was.
Okay. I mean, you got respect for D-Rose. I don't. He's on the same pedestal as Melo to me.
You know, that's a great point. That was Derrick Rose a superstar after? That's actually, I never really thought about it that way. He maybe was that year after, and then when did he get taken away? When did he fall off? When is he technically no longer? Well, yes.
Jeez.
Chill out.
Derrick Rose, when he won that MVP, I think after it happened, people looked at that year in retrospect as him being a superstar that year. So it all gets labeled. Everything gets labeled after the fact. And we all think that we knew it when it happened. We all think that we were there calling it when it happened. But it's always after the fact and we give ourselves credit. I think Derrick Rose was a superstar for a year. That's probably right. And that's superstar. It. For 1 year.
Yep.
Maybe.
Maybe the year after.
I mean, even when he got the MVP, I was younger, so I mean, my heart wasn't in it, and I didn't know as much as I probably know now about basketball. But still, looking back, I just don't look at Derrick Rose and be like, he was a superstar.
To be a superstar to be
that's
win
what I'm
MVP
saying. That's what I'm asking. Do you have to? Because I don't think Derrick Rose was a superstar.
Like I can't. Think
I think
of,
he was just a great.
What's a player who's won MVP who wasn't considered a superstar?
I mean, Loki. Let me stop. I'm just saying he was a great player that was in a good situation because that Bulls team was really good. So they had the record. He put up good numbers being a second-year player. He was a great player. So you gave it to him. You did it off wins. That's how it went. But does that mean he's a superstar? Because that team was still a playoff team without him. He obviously fell off. You can say it was the injuries. He still fell off. I mean, I don't know. I just don't give him the credit of being a superstar. But this we're not here to rip on Derrick Rose. Listen, that's like... Let's not get off topic. That's very easy for me. I can rip on Derrick Rose all day. But that's not nice.
Bro, how are you gonna rip on a man who was unfortunate in his career as he is?
Hey, learn how to land. LeBron's done
it. I can understand with Melo since he kind of did it to himself. But
all I'm saying is, and when it comes to Derrick Rose, everybody says it's on him because he needs to learn how to land. I honestly believe that's a thing. Go watch the G League players play. Look at how they jump in the air at each other. Like, but spacing is an actual thing, people. If you don't want to get hurt, you know when to jump and when not to jump to kill somebody.
If anything, though, I think Derrick Rose is the person that taught us that players need to learn how to land, because anytime anyone says that now, they don't go back to someone before Derrick Rose and see it happened to him. And then it happened to Derrick Rose. We say, oh, it happened to Derrick Rose, and it's going to happen to him, too, if he keeps playing like this. Like Dennis Smith Jr., some people say, if he lands like he does, he'll become like Derrick Rose. So I think...
Yeah, honestly, if it wasn't for Derrick Rose, we wouldn't even be looking at Dennis Smith's landing.
Yeah, we wouldn't think twice about all these athletic point guards that go up dunking on big men and stuff like that.
If it wasn't for Derrick Rose, yeah. Makes sense.
So he was kind of a trailblazer of sorts in the NBA, if you think about it.
Bob McAdoo, MVP, not a superstar.
Boom.
Just leave it there. Don't even talk about it.
He dug that one up.
Just keep it moving.
Yo, what's your top three again?
Oh, I said number one, 2016 Cavs. Number two, 2004 Pistons. And number three is the 2011 Dallas Mavericks.
All right. I'm gonna go with the 2016 Cavs because, you know, 3-1, 73-9, you know. But low key, that Draymond Green suspension. Let me chill. All right, number two, Bill Russell's last championship.
This guy.
God, right. Jesus.
He was a player coach last year in the league.
Yo, what
bro.
The hell is a player
what
coach?
What
the fact that a player coach could exist means that era was the fact that a player coach could exist in a professional league means that something was amiss. Something Bill was wrong.
Russell
was
Bill just Russell that couldn't great. Even sit in front of the great. Bus on those teams. I'm not trying to hear that.
It's my top three. All right, there you go. Sure, Bill Russell, last championship.
That was
player
half the
coach. Went to seven against Wilts. And one
there wasn't even the NBA logo back then. Jesus Christ.
Yo, those two players made up 10% of the league. There was right. like 12
that,
people
they
playing
the
back
league.
Then.
That was it every
I've,
year.
I heard some of the guys that you, one of the guys that played in that league also had an ice cream truck he drove around to sell when the league wasn't going around. Come on, bro. They weren't even making enough money to survive in the offseason. Like, we even gonna consider anything from back then.
The NBA was a side job for them.
Yo, they brought their jerseys home to wash them individually.
Like, no, the NBA was a glorified rec league. It was a glorified YMCA basketball league. Oh, bro, come on. There was a bunch of Corey Brewers back then.
He's still two on my list. I don't give a damn. Man. Okay. And number three, I'm going to have to go with Hakeem's first. Whatever year he destroyed David Robinson, that's the year. Because that dude was destroying folks on another
that
level.
That Hakeem respect. Yeah.
That's my top three, though.
All right, you know what? I think I messed up my intro. Let me do an interim intro here. Don't edit it back in or anything like that. I want to be known as the Michael Beasley of NBA YouTube.
What?
Your favorite YouTuber's favorite YouTuber.
I second there you go. That. He's the Michael Beasley of NBA YouTube.
Of NBA YouTube.
The
there you
Michael
go.
Beasley of NBA. Right.
Wait, he's just like Korzemba, but on the left side of the court.
You heard Michael Beasley. He said he's your favorite NBA player's NBA player. Yeah. Yes, that's the stance I'm taking.
Next time I get to interview an NBA player, I'm asking them if Michael Beasley is their favorite player. So it's just a fact.
I hope they say it. They need to get. They should. Just show the man some support. All right. Everybody already, I'm just saying the same thing everybody else said here, because 2016, it was an extremely impressive championship. Like, if that's the question, what was the most impressive, right? Is that the word impressive?
Yeah,
it was. Like, it was a great story. I personally hated it, but just the back and forth, it's historic, you know? And it can be argued forever. And those are the best matchups and competitions is when there's an infinite argument that can be had and nothing can ever be really settled. So it was impressive. It was great. Down 3-1, all the storylines. I admit it was probably the most impressive championship on anybody's list. The Heat in 2013, right? Is that with the shot in game
the
six?
Yeah.
That one. Because anytime, and I guess they're similar, because anytime you really believe it's over for one team and then something changes, whatever it is, the suspension, or maybe whether that was the deciding factor or not, or just that shot in the last few seconds and just that whole, the way it all played out, in 2013, whatever it is, when you think somebody's completely out and the complete narrative changes, that's great TV. That's a great story. It's great. And that's what I consider impressive. I didn't see this. I don't know much about it. I just heard about it. But 1975 Warriors, when they beat the Bullets 4-0 and they were underdogs, I think it's one of the only times in the NBA where a legitimate underdog won the championship and swept. They swept them just 4-0, which was nobody saw coming. And the Warriors barely even made the playoffs that year. Again, it was 1975. It wasn't quite basketball. I mean, as we know it, a lot of things happened that we wouldn't expect. But those are it. Those are my three.
All right. So I'm the only Pistons fan or guy that supports the Pistons here. Good to know.
Right. Yeah. All right. Uh huh.
We out here, Lakers, Celtics, Warriors. You know, the good franchises. The good
good franchise. I'm gonna pretend
good
I didn't hear that. I'm
That's
gonna pretend
low key
I did.
Disrespectful.
hear that.
We got Lonzo, Kyrie, and Steph Curry as
a point guard, you know.
I mean, you don't. We don't have Bobby Shmurda as our point guard. You know?
Hey! Who got the best center?
I mean, Loki.
Loki, what?
Al Horford? Come on now,
Chill. No.
Come on. Hey, who's a better passer?
What?
Who can shoot?
Andre Drummond is actually a good passer this year.
But is he better than Al?
But is he Al Horford, though?
He's getting close.
Hey, I'll give you this, man. You got Bobby Shmurda and J. Cole.
J. Cole, the man's fire.
I mean, listen. You got a Tobias Harris, but what's a Tobias Harris to Kobe Kuzma? What's Tobias Harris to Kobe Kuzma? What's a Tobias Harris to a JT, to a Jason Tatum?
Come on now. You're taking Jason Tatum over Tobias Harris right now?
What's a Tobias Harris to a Kevin Durant? Come on, dude.
I mean, listen.
I'm taking Tatum.
I'm definitely taking Kuzma.
Well, for the future, sure, but right now,
I'm probably taking Kobe Kuzma. Sorry.
The disrespect. Anyways, moving on. If you guys had to pick someone in the league, it's always going to be LeBron, I'm guessing right now. Anyways, he's kind of upset. Well, unless you're the Warriors fan, then maybe you have a different opinion about that. But he's kind of upset with the refs because of the game against the Warriors. Of course, the NBA came out and made it official that the refs missed 3 calls in the final minutes of the close Cavs versus Warriors game on Christmas Day. And since then, LeBron has been asked about that and asked what he's thought about the refs, and he said that he's not happy with them, mainly because after the fouls happened, he went to the refs, asked them why they didn't call it, and they said to his face, the refs that was baseline had the best view, said it to his face, that there was no foul on the play. That's why he didn't call it. He said that happened 3 times, and that's what has him upset. If they would have said, oh, I didn't see it, I didn't have a good angle on it, something like that, he said it would have been fine, you know what? But the fact that he said to his face that there was no foul, and clearly there was, that's why he's upset. What do you guys think about this? You guys think, LeBron should be upset about this?
I mean, you're LeBron James at the end of the day. Like, they praying on your downfall, bro. Like, they don't want you, they don't want to see you winning, okay? They don't want to see you winning. All right, you clearly was fouled. The world knows it. We have the replays. We can see that you were fouled. Obviously, they're not fucking with you, LeBron. You just gotta let it slide. You can't let this get to you. We still getting this ship at the end of the year. It doesn't matter. It's just Christmas.
He said, Merry Christmas, LeBron. Here's that.
How about you guys?
I think he has a point, because I feel like we talk about superstars getting calls more than other players, and the fact that it seems like LeBron is not getting those calls is kind of weird. But I think LeBron's just one of those players that are he's just so hard to ref, because he is bigger and faster and stronger than everyone, that you kind of have to ref him a little bit differently. But I get where he's coming from, though.
It's like the Shaq situation, right? Like, he never got those little calls. But you can't call those. You can't call those when somebody is bringing their hand down and it doesn't affect you at all, even though it technically should be a foul. But in terms of LeBron, should he be upset? Yeah, he should be upset over everything. He should be pissed off at everything. Like, you look at somebody not to just keep going back to the same old 5 topics, but Jordan stayed mad his entire career. He found little things to get mad about and irrelevant people to be pissed off about. Every reason for a superstar to stay mad is a good idea. So I don't think he should voice it. I think he comes off a little like he's being a little whiny, you know, like if you're so concerned about the bigger goals and the championships, but then I guess when somebody says, if you lose another championship, is it a big deal? And you're like, no, my kids are a big deal. I guess I don't know what he's been looking forward to, but if his goals are big and lengthy, Jesus Christ. Man. Okay, forget about big and lengthy there. Yeah, right?
Big and lengthy.
But, yes.
Pause. First
yeah, I know.
Pause.
I know. That's what I'm saying here. Just pause the whole show right now. But if he's trying to have goals like championships and chasing ghosts, making little arguments in front of people, in front of cameras about fouls, it's not a good look. It's really not. Keep it to yourself. Put it in your book years later about what motivated you. Vent about it from the podium at the Hall of Fame, but you're not winning any battles on a daily basis. Bitching about that stuff. So,
but wasn't he asked the question though? So it's like you kind of have to answer it.
No, you're kidding me. Does anybody have to answer a question they're
I'm
asked?
Just here
like
so
if
we I'm
know
not,
anything
so
about,
I won't get fined.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, honestly, not to bring everything else into it, but from politics to whatever, you don't have to answer anything you don't want to answer. You change it to the question you want to answer. So he doesn't have to answer that. I think that's one of the biggest cop-outs to be like, well, somebody asked me. Somebody asked me that question. What, are they in charge of you? Are they your boss? No, you're a grown-ass man. You don't have to answer every question somebody asks you.
You can't really say that because there have been plenty of times where LeBron gets asked a question and he'll just say that's none of your business or no comment. Like there are plenty of
he literally told a reporter that was a stupid question. You look like a smart guy or some shit like that. LeBron has a savage side.
So, he really does though.
But what do you think, man? You say you're just here so I won't get fined. But
I mean, listen. At the end of the day, I mean, don't be like Jordan and use it for fuel because you don't need that. I mean, anytime someone tells you to be like Jordan, you don't do it. That's the worst advice you can get from a basketball standpoint is to be like Jordan.
What, to be psychotic?
Yeah, man.
Well, I mean,
yeah,
that's what we cherish.
Exactly.
We love
it,
our sports stars being a psychotic maniac.
Teammates love to get punched in the face. You're right. That's just what we look for in sports. I wish my teammates would punch me in my face. That's how I know you're dedicated.
It's how Kobe modeled himself, and we love him for it. I'm just saying from a bigger standpoint.
Historians that are loving Kobe were the same niggas writing all them Kobe's a ball hog goddamn blogs. His whole career, I love how Kobe gets all this
right
now that he's retired because none of these niggas was on his side
because that's how it works.
He was playing.
Yep.
When
the
Kobe was
written later, nothing
when Kobe
matters
was
when it's happening.
60, no one was at Kobe's defense. Everyone was like, "Oh yeah, he's old, he's washed." Stephen A. was like the only person I can remember defending Kobe live on television.
All right, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure a lot of people are mad that Kobe was 60.
Not enough people were mad.
I'm pretty
None
sure
of
a lot
people
of people
mad.
Are mad.
Kobe's always had haters.
I'm pretty sure most
Kobe,
people were actually
Kobe,
mad.
People were mad about Melo being 64. They were sure mad about
Kobe
being 60.
They were mad about Melo being 64.
First of all, don't ever put Melo and Kobe in the same sentence, okay? Don't disrespect Kobe like that, all right? Don't you ever disrespect Kobe like that. Listen, Melo has delusional fans, all right? Kobe has goddamn snakes as fans. He got a bunch of Kevin Durant on Twitter as his fans. They'll talk trash about him his whole career. And now they love him. He's one of their favorite players. I mean,
it's not like he's our family member. Like that's how it works. Like unless we're related to these people, you don't have to be 100% on somebody.
They weren't even.
That's the joy
they
in watching sports.
They
it's
half
the
these
ups
people
and downs.
Weren't even 50% on Kobe. I don't want to hear that. Half these people. Weren't
I mean, it's gonna be the right. same thing with LeBron.
I mean, sure. I want to see the survey you took year by year. I mean, it's just kind of like. Everything's written after the fact when it's done. Like, of course, people are going to be critical as it's happening.
I mean,
that's
you're,
how it works.
You're right, you're,
you pick it apart
right,
while it's happening. And then you put a nice big fat bow on it when they
right.
die. You know,
you're
that's
right,
how it works.
Let's not stray away from the whole topic. The topic was just LeBron and the whole getting mad about the call. To me, I'll say just let
right,
it go.
Right.
Brush it off. Bro, you already know this. He's getting less calls this year than he did his rookie year. They're not calling me. This is just to add on to that. I mean,
I think more than anything, though, this was LeBron trying to set a precedent. Like, he doesn't want to see refs not taking responsibility, saying, oh, that wasn't a foul anymore. Like, he's letting go for the past game because there's nothing he can do about that. But I think it's more so for future games that he doesn't want them to just say there was no foul when clearly there was a foul. And then the NBA comes out and says, yeah, there was a foul. Like, what are these refs doing? Why are they saying there's no foul when it's obviously a foul?
Yeah, that would kind of grind my gears.
But yeah, I think that's all there is to it. But I don't know if it'll change anything. If he'll start getting more calls, probably not. But
yeah, I doubt it.
He just has to. He has to deal with it. This is NBA in 2018. You gotta deal with the refs.
This is Chris Axman, host of Deep Positioning, and I'm here to tell you a little bit about eLiquid.com. Step up your vape game this season. Try something new, replenish your favorite e-liquid, or treat yourself to an upgrade. Whatever you choose, eLiquid.com, sure to have it, value price, and ready to be shipped to you in lightning speed. They have amazing fast shipping, with most orders, including mine, shipping the same day when ordered at 2 p.m. Pacific time, with every type of product you could possibly imagine, not just e-liquid, but hardware, tanks, replacement coils, atomizers, batteries, accessories, and DIY supplies. eLiquid.com has you covered, and they always keep the customer in mind. eLiquid.com is all about making vape shopping easier. And plus, eLiquid.com has one of the most user-friendly shopping experiences around, with easy-to-navigate menus, descriptive product details, customer reviews to help you make the right choice. And the best part is, you can get 20% off your first purchase. Visit eLiquid.com, that's eLiquid.com/Almighty, and use promo code Almighty, ALMIGHTY, during checkout and get a 20% discount. That's 20% off at eLiquid.com/Almighty using the promo code Almighty during checkout, ALMIGHTY, and get a 20% discount on any vaping product at eLiquid.com.
Anyways, though, moving on, actually moving back in time, Isaiah Thomas, not the Celtics or Cavs Isaiah Thomas, but the good old Detroit Pistons Isaiah Thomas and Magic Johnson. They had a interesting relationship, started off as pretty good friends coming into the NBA. As time went on, that relationship deteriorated, and recently didn't they do something on, was it ESPN, where they like... made up or something like that. I remember seeing that.
They had like a little intervention.
Yeah, I feel like that was staged, but it is what it is. I just have a hard time believing anything like that on TV, but it is what it is. They had an intervention, whatever, but they didn't have the best past. Of course, with NBA Storyteller told us before we came on that Isaiah Thomas wasn't too happy about Magic Johnson not letting him on the Dream Team and stuff like that. So what do you guys think about their relationship?
I'm glad that we're talking about this for a second, because I think they failed in so many ways with that little special that I fell for and I watched it. And it was, you cannot trust TV and specials and all in that staging. You just can't do it.
Nope.
And they sat there and they fondled each other's balls for 55 minutes, and then they cried and hugged, and somebody apologized. I mean, as far as I know, Magic sided with Michael Jordan and didn't want to make any problems when Michael Jordan didn't want Isaiah on the Dream Team, and Magic just stayed out of it and sided, you know, and apparently back then him and Isaiah were really close, and Isaiah expected more of Magic. Also, it was soon after, or around the same time, after Magic made his announcement that he was HIV positive, HIV positive, Isaiah Thomas started going around telling everybody in the league that Magic was gay. So
that still kills me. This man literally, this man said, you're gay. After the other guy just said, I don't want to play basketball with you, bro. And he said, you're gay. What the fuck?
Biso's fine. Y'all don't understand. Biso's finds that very
That's the same rumor as Russell Westbrook's about to start spreading about Kevin Durant.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what if when KD went to the Warriors, and this man Russell Westbrook was just going in around the league. It was like, hey, yo, rumor has it, man, KD gay. Yo, that's some OD shit.
Rumor has it, KD is gay.
The real Mini behind Cupcake.
The real meaning behind Cupcake. I'm done.
Ooh. All right, man. Keep going. My bad.
So I just think that there's so much there, right? And for this little special, they hugged it out in the last minute and cried a little bit. Number one, like, for anybody who produces television or has been involved in any sort of production, they never addressed any of those topics in the actual show. They teased it at the beginning in a little promo deal, but the two gentlemen never talked about it, which means they're still embarrassed to talk about it. They still don't even want to face each other about it. All they do is just giggle. Those are two of the most giggling, admit, grown men in this world. And it is, there's something to be said about smiling, because if you smile, you can get away with a lot of junk. You can get away with a lot of stuff if you put a big old smile at the end of your BS. So after all that, they hug, right? And I guess they're together again, I guess. So I'm wondering, in that whole situation, who looks like the bigger piece of, I don't know, can we curse on this? Are we trying not to? Who looks like the bigger piece of shit between the two of them after they're back and forth? Should Magic have stood up for his little buddy?
Little buddy.
Or it was spreading rumors about Magic being gay. Was that too much?
I'm going IT on this one, man. That's a dick move, yo. But I want to hear everyone else's opinion.
Yeah, I'm going to let everyone else go first, because I'm going to be biased about this. I'm not going to lie. So,
I mean, I'll take it away, man. Listen, at the end of the day, who the hell cares? I'm just saying, like, this... Like,
all right. Okay, that's good. Like, that's a good
cares,
point.
Bro? You're both like 60 years old. Like, don't nobody care. Okay? Like, okay, like, IT, you have to understand, no one liked you. All right? You pissed everyone off. Ouch. All right? You used the DDT niggas out the air when they went for layups. You think they gonna want to play with you? You think they want you to represent America? Huh? Come on, you, like, you have some damn common sense. You used to fight every game. You think niggas, that was just between the lines. Nah, you can come with us over the waters and just go with us and be teammates. Yeah, I want to play with you even though you clipped me out the air. Like, come on. Like, no one liked you. All right, and then you're going to get mad because Magic Johnson, a player who was past his prime at the time, might I ask, was on a team led by Michael Jordan at the peak of his goddamn career. And he said, I don't want IT on the team. Magic doesn't have no goddamn say-so. Magic just can't say, oh, well, IT's on the team. Like, nigga, grow the hell up. And Magic, nigga, you know what? I was about to be disrespectful.
He's getting on both of them.
I was about to get disrespectful for a second. But hey, it's good, because Magic's a Laker. I love Magic, so I don't want to disrespect that man and comfort his
head. Remember, he was a Lakers fan.
I was a Lakers fan for a second.
Hey, man, Don, what are you about to say?
Magic, at the end of the day, one, if that's your friend, I don't let people talk trash about my friends when they're not there, if they're my friends, all right? You stick up for your people, and you know, listen, Christian Laettner, really? Come on, dude.
Why you bring? What did he?
Like, really, Christian Laettner? Like, you couldn't just be like, bro, let IT. Like, come on, like IT. Come on, it's Christian Laettner. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, come on, bro. And at the same time, like, you got AIDS at a point of time when no one knew about AIDS like that. Like, AIDS were foreign, and the common thought was only gay people get AIDS. So you can't get mad at people calling you gay if you got AIDS at a time where they thought only gay people got AIDS. Like, are you serious? You gotta be a grown man too. You gotta think about this. You got a disease at a time where niggas weren't used to that disease. They literally thought only gay people got it. So, I mean, 2 + 2 = 4, my dude. You're gay. I'm just saying. There's no benefit of the doubt.
I'm not even trying to say it. But who even knows what Magic was doing? Listen, anyway,
rich people do freaky stuff all the time. I'm not. It's not out the question. Anybody, listen. Your son got it from somewhere. You're born gay. It came from somewhere. Chill out. It don't just happen.
Yo, people say him and Arsenio were together back then. That's what the rumor was. We ain't starting no rumors on the dish.
All right. We're not dishing. It's not mine.
All right,
bro.
Yo,
he's a Magic.
Yeah.
You got a.
This is my favorite podcast.
I'm just saying, at the end of the day, y'all are grown men and y'all six. Y'all got grandkids. Y'all got better stuff. Worry about why we still ain't got no superstar in the Lakers. Stop worrying about you and Isaiah Thomas beefing. God dang.
Honestly, I look back at it and it was like, what were they really talking about? They were just like, we've been through a lot.
Yeah, they didn't say anything.
They just hung it out.
They literally wasted the entire time, didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Just beating you around the bush, throwing some fake tears. And the whole thing, my whole thing with this is, I think Dom pretty much covered everything between Isaiah Thomas and Magic Johnson. Like, you know, Isaiah Thomas, as a Pistons fan, I have to realize that no one liked anyone on the Pistons back then. Of course, they were trying to end their motto was, you know what? If we can't beat them, we're going to try and injure them. You know, so we're going to stop them one way or another. So, yeah, no one liked them. It is what it is. I've accepted that. But the whole thing about the show is, like, where did this come from? Like, it has to be so fake because all of a sudden, out of the blue, they're like, you know what? On air, on national TV, let's do nothing, cry, hug, get paid. That's all it is. It's just these things that get fans, like the older fans, try and get into their emotions, get some newer fans, maybe some exposure to what it was like back in the day.
No one cared. Get some quick views. It didn't work.
Exactly. It was like, no one asked for this. We didn't. Yeah. No one was talking about Isaiah Thomas and Magic Johnson having beef. Like, what is this? If it was Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, that would have been fine. That would have been great. People would have been like, oh, this is the best thing ever. But
yeah.
Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas.
Magic's not broke. I know that. But maybe Isaiah's over there doing like the 12th hour on NBA TV. Like, this.
Yeah. All right, man. But I think we can all agree, right? We think it's staged.
That
right?
Should have had to be staged. Yeah. If it wasn't staged, somebody got to catch the hands.
Does this feed into the bigger conspiracy that the whole NBA is staged?
No. I don't think
like, what bro, until you can explain to me how they just say, look, my nigga, make the shot, miss the shot. Until you explain that aspect of it, then I'll believe it. But, like, bro, I played basketball. People play basketball every day.
I'm saying,
you can't just say, I'm going to go out and shoot from half court and go in. Nigga, I'm a globetrotter. Okay, no, it don't work like that. Like, everybody's not a globetrotter.
Can I run through my short theory on this? It's not rigged. It's like, it's staged, I think, is the right word, because all you can do is stage a scenario. Yeah. You can stage an environment and you can just, it's like a big ass boat. You can just slowly turn it in one direction or another, but you can't control the little things that happen day to day or year to year. But as a league, of course, they want it to go in a certain direction.
I won't say it's staged. I would say it's fixed.
Okay.
League is fixed, like you said, to go certain ways. They will control it to go whichever way they want. But I believe that's in all sports. All major league sports are fixed in some way or another. That's just what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Just for so everyone can make their money. I mean, the biggest thing for that for me is why didn't the Seahawks run the ball on fourth down? On fourth and one. That's the biggest moment of sports being fixed. You got that. You got
the are better.
LeBron not getting the call. That's fixed. That's a fixed moment. They're like, listen, we're not going to stop this game. Yeah. We're going to let this keep going. Nigga, no foul. There's plenty of fixed moments in basketball and in sports in general. Let's not.
So it's not not scripted, but the NBA the controls
about,
what they can.
The thing about, I don't get Kings, people saying like the
Kings versus Lakers.
I can see like the NBA finals, but like for that Cavs Warriors regular season game when it's a close game, I just don't see what the NBA would get out of fixing it in favor for the Warriors. Like, I don't.
But that's the problem with the. I think that's the problem with the word fixed. Like, yeah. There's a lot of like betting connotation on the word fixed. Like, an individual game was fixed. I mean, here this might be the worst example or metaphor. It's like, I think it's like parents and kids, right? You can try to make a kid do something and raise them a certain way, but ultimately that person's going to do whatever the hell they end up doing. You can only guide them in certain directions. You can set the environment where certain franchises get, you know, smoother deals and better deals under the table and more money, and certain things that they want in their environment, they get better. And obviously with the refs, you don't have to bring the refs in for a meeting to know that they want a certain thing to happen. It's like a hive mind. Everybody understands where this should be going, and you don't have to have a meeting for that. It's just the environment and how it happens, because we all understand how the story is supposed to go. So, but in the meantime, a lot of crazy shit happens, including rogue agents or people taking things into their own hand and actually fixing things. You know, sometimes people probably do step beyond their boundaries and fix something or put something into place on a particular day. But, you know, just over the course of the NBA, just over 50, 60, 70 years, they get exactly what they want. Everything works out. There's anomalies here and there. Maybe your Pistons were the anomaly, but...
it's like, Kobe, just make it! I can't ref!
I can't ref. I'm done.
It's not. I think the magnets are broken, bro.
Shout out the word doing the magnets in the hoop.
Man, I think the NBA, what they do is like they try to set the narrative, like to a storyteller's point. Like, yeah. they try to guide everything. Like in 2009, do you really think the NBA wanted Magic versus LA in the finals instead of Magic versus Cavs?
No.
You know what I mean? So they tried their best to
Has anybody covered the 2009 Magic? There's some weird stuff. Obviously, I just think that team was just, it was like the 89 Oakland A's, like just flooded with steroids. I think something happened in Orlando that year. Something crazy happened that year because none of those players are good at basketball. Any of them.
That's actually a low-key fact.
And they just came out of nowhere, right?
I don't know what that is. Like, man, it had to be something.
You know, Turgaloo, Jameer Nelson.
Courtney Lee, come on.
Jameer Nelson, like, he was
even viable. Like, oh my, was Dwight that good?
You look at that on paper now, and you're like, they made the LeBron lost that.
Really, LeBron? Yeah. That's when people come out. He's better than Jordan. Like,
low key,
he's better than Jordan. He gonna be this team? Like, what? I'm just saying, like, see, I lost what we were saying because I was laughing so hard. Damn it. What were we talking about?
We were talking about the NBA being like fixed or
fixed. I mean, a big example of it being fixed. Okay, so like he said, there are anomalies, and the league does have a narrative that they want to follow. And like he said, the fixed moments will happen when there's like he said, rogue agents, air quotes. You know, like with the Lakers and Sacramento Kings series, that was, I can say that's an example of a rogue agent finessing the system for himself, because he was actually putting money on them games too. He was benefiting off those games too. Like, he was putting up money for those games that he was refereeing.
Was that rogue, or the NBA?
But so
to
why
push
would the NBA have a referee bet on the games that he was fixing? Like, why would that's stupid. Why would the NBA?
They needed a fall guy. They needed
so
a
make
fall
the fall guy.
Guy
the guy doing it. What, you gotta think the league is smarter than that.
The
league is.
It's so genius that it's stupid.
It's so diabolically genius that it doesn't make no sense.
Or it's so stupid that it's genius.
The league
I'm
is
sorry.
Just like, listen. So we need the Lakers to win. All right, guy number one, you're gonna rig the hell out of these finals. Okay, what is guy number two going to do? Oh, he's not going to do anything. You're also going to bet all of your money on the games that you're reffing. So if we get caught, it's your fault still. Like,
exactly.
Kind of set up.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
That's too funny.
Like, you become filthy rich, you never get to ref again, and we win. We all win.
It's like the lone shooter. What do they call it? You know? It is. It's like they put it all on one person. Like, so the whole thing goes down with him.
He was a kamikaze ref. A kamikaze ref.
Yeah, a kamikaze ref.
I'm done.
He said kamikaze ref. I'm weak.
Maybe this ref had plans to retire after the season was done anyways. You know, the NBA was like, hey, it's going to be your last series regardless. How you feel about making some extra money?
Gonna go out with a bang.
I'm done with you guys. I'm done with y'all.
I'm just saying, there's no coincidence that the NBA wanted the Lakers to win that series.
I mean,
there's no doubt that they did not want to see the Kings in the finals that year.
I don't know. The Kings were pretty exciting back then.
It was just like the Magic or something.
But that could have been the start of something.
Like that's like to the actual NBA fans. Like everyone else, though, the Lakers.
But you got still, Kobe that Bryant, Kings team was Stack. Still marketable. That Kings team still had what it took.
But were they as marketable as the Lakers?
That's true. But if the Lakers wasn't playing that good,
I'd say that's like the Rockets and the Warriors right now. You know what I'm saying? It's like, sure, we. It's not like the Rockets making the finals is the worst thing to ever happen, but the NBA would much rather see the Warriors make it because non-NBA fans that know the Warriors don't really know too much about the Rockets or know how good they are or anything like that. It's not as marketable.
The worst thing that could happen to the league is if the Cavs and Warriors don't make it to the finals.
That's a fact. Because Rockets versus Celtics
ain't nobody got time for that.
I don't.
It's just a fact.
Why can't this be the anomaly now?
An anomaly? The anomaly that makes people stop watching basketball.
NBA don't want no more of those.
What's good, y'all? This is your boy Justin, aka Just Blaze, host of Above the Rim. And if you want a raw take on the NBA, Above the Rim is a show for you. With dope beats and entertaining guests each week, we offer a great new insight on all things NBA. You don't want to miss it. Find it on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and the Almighty Baller Network.
Hey, man, y'all
hate we haters. Okay.
All right, moving on though. Speaking of anomalies, someone who's a long shot but is making a case to win Rookie of the Year is Kyle Kuzma. Of course, Ben Simmons is probably still the front runner right now, but if Kuzma keeps playing the way he's been playing, then he's gonna start getting some looks. Do you guys think that it's possible for him to possibly steal the
Rookie of the Year award? I'll take this first swing on this one as the Laker fan on the pod. Honestly, I don't think there's no possible way for him to win Rookie of the Year for the simple fact that the Sixers...
I thought he was about to win.
The exact opposite.
I got this. I'm about to defend my man. He said, no.
There's no way he's going to win it. I'm just being honest with people. He's not. Because we're not going to win as many games as the 76ers. And last year... Brogdon's Bucks won more games than any other guy on that list. All right.
What other guy on that list? I can't even name another guy on that list.
Saric.
Okay, I can't either. But you get my point. Well, no, you don't get my point. Dario Saric, okay, he had a good rookie year, but the Sixers weren't as good of a team. And even if Embiid was, I don't know. If Embiid played more games, they might have been a better team. But still, we're not even going to go over that. Anyway, I'm just saying, I don't think he's going to get it for the simple fact the Sixers would be a better team. And you can low-key say it's because of Ben Simmons. Like, a lot of it has to do with Ben Simmons.
Is it, though?
A lot of it has to do with...
Does it, though?
Yeah, Embiid and Ben Simmons, yes.
With Joel Embiid had been missing, the Sixers went on a stretch where they were like 2-8.
I mean, he's a rookie!
With Embiid in and out of the lineup.
He's a rookie!
So was Kyle Kuzma.
Even with Kyle Kuzma, we still 11-30. No, I'm playing. But I'm just saying. Don't get me wrong. Kyle Kuzma.
I'm not bashing Ben Simmons because I think that guy is the future of the NBA. But listen, I think he needs a guy like Joel Embiid around him because Embiid makes him look better right now. He needs a guy that he can kind of spoon feed.
That's true.
Because if you put him on some bump team, he wouldn't be able to do much. But
still, regardless, Kuzma's not the best rookie. And I mean, Simmons he came off with a hot start, and he's basically been that guy ever since. Kuzma,
He's been slower. He's been slower for the past couple weeks. Maybe it's like the rookie wall or something. Over the past couple weeks, he hasn't been as good as he has been.
I mean, listen, I got all the faith in the world in Kuzma. I just don't think it's going to happen if Ben Simmons keeps it up. Now, if Ben Simmons slows down and, you know, Kobe Kuzma, you know, goes Kobe Kuzma, then we have this conversation again in March. But at the moment, I've seen a lot. I've seen what I needed to see from Ben Simmons to say he's going to win it. Kobe Kuzma is still my guy. He's the best rookie on the Lakers. He's probably our second best player, honestly. And I love it.
Wait, who's the best player then?
Best player? I mean, Jesus, he might be our best player. He might be our best player.
He said he's the best rookie, but not the best player.
Kuzma's our best player. Now I'm thinking about it.
Unless you're going to argue.
I'm taking him over Brandon Ingram. Now, Brandon Ingram, I think Brandon Ingram has more potential to be a better player because I feel like Brandon Ingram's already better defensively, and he'll just grow into a better defensive player. So he'll be a better player all around. But Kobe Kuzma offense is just, I mean, Jesus Christ. He's a rookie?
He's just white.
I'm not 100% up on all this, but I got 2 points here. Well, one question. How long has Brandon Ingram had potential? Is he just going to have potential, like, until he retires?
I mean, it's his second year. He's still got potential. He's not what he's going to be for the rest of his career right now.
I am with storytelling. What? I don't really like the whole word potential when talking about...
Had potential.
All these NBA players technically should have potential.
Until a certain point.
I mean, look at Zaza Pachulia. I've never heard of somebody
who has so much damn potential. It'd be Brandon Ingram,
Nerlens Noel, who doesn't get playing time for the Dallas Mavericks. He has potential, but where's that
game? The thing is, Ingram has more potential than Nerlens Noel.
More potential. Okay,
let me say that. He says has potential to be a better player than Nerlens Noel. How about that?
I guess.
But he's still using the word potential.
First of all, it's not like Ingram isn't doing. First of all, don't disrespect him.
I'm looking to be informed here.
All right, that's disrespectful. All right, put some respect on my man Ingram's name. All right, because last year he came in the league, he wasn't even giving you 10 points. Now he's giving you 16. All right, so he's showing you that he can get better, which he should. I'm not giving him credit for doing something he should do. I'm just happy that he's doing it because he easily could have been the next Michael Carter Williams. Ass.
I'm just wondering how many years can somebody live off of? Yeah, you go. Yeah. Like, how many years can somebody... That be I mean, their moniker. On, like, I mean, is it two, all, 3 years before you start
pick.
Questioning?
It depends on when they were picked and why they were picked that high. So with a second pick in a draft, I would say give it 3 years.
I'm saying...
Give it 3 years if they're showing
I'm
you...
I'm saying after the third year. Yeah, after the third year,
it's a difference.
That's when the potential thing
Listen,
stops.
Anthony Bennett, you know that's, it was over after year two. It was over. It was no hope. Honestly, after year one, you already like, he's trash. But year two, you like, it's over.
No, it didn't take 2 years.
So for some guys... It's
took
obvious.
Like 10 games.
Ingram, he didn't get worse. So you have to be like, okay, he's developing. That's a part of the potential. So how much better can he get from here? And then you measure.
I'll take that. Like, I'm here to learn, so too.
I'm all for saying a player's trash. And I get what you're saying with the whole potential thing.
Can we use the word promising instead of potential? I like promising more than potential.
I mean, listen,
about it.
It's a difference between promising and potential, though.
I know, but because I like promising because Brandon Ingram is improving. He's showing promise that he will be a better player.
I mean,
potential...
Look. The reason I say potential when it comes to Brandon Ingram is because drafted coming out of Duke, the biggest thing I heard was his potential to be the next KD and score. And my thing was, okay,
so that's just hype.
That is hype. But the thing is, he's a scorer. And he's showing that about this year. He's showing he can be aggressive and he can score. And that's showing some of that potential. Some of it.
I mean, he Noah gave, Noel has potential listen, to be a shot listen, blocker listen. And a rebounder.
Every shot he's got potential to be a shot blocker.
Listen, Ingram gave KD a 30 bomb, all right? We've seen
one game.
You haven't like Ingram been giving out these great games.
I don't like bringing up one game as potential either. I'm all for Ingram, but you can't use one game to say he has potential. Some games are defining games.
One game reloads your potential. It's like that. It reloads it. It does.
But some games.
Yo, can we use like the word like magic? Like they have that maybe special something.
That special.
Yo, he's just got that magic. He's got the special stuff like Space Jam.
There are just so many players in the NBA with potential. And I'm with you. I think Brandon Ingram is going to be a special player, but I don't like lumping him in with the players that have potential.
You got it.
You know, because that's a lot.
That's why I low key hate the whole one and done thing. It's like because these players have so much potential, right? But we don't know when to stop. We're still saying guys from 2012 still have potential.
Day, listen, just stay in school and you can be the next Kobe Kuzma. It doesn't matter, bro.
Could be the next Buddy Hield.
I mean, Buddy,
but he's got potential.
You ask the front office for the Kings, next Steph Curry, even though he can't dribble or pass.
Are there any? And this may be for a future topic. Are there any fifth or sixth year players that still have potential? I just want to know. If anybody can find that player. I just want to know.
I'll make it my job.
I still hear some people say Kyrie still has more potential. I still see some people say Kawhi still has more potential.
He can still grow.
So, that's why I hate the word potential. That's not potential. It's development.
It's a different level of potential.
It's development. He can develop more. It's not potential. Potential squared.
Potential squared.
Yeah. Veteran potential. That's all. Yeah.
I mean, you know, you got some people saying Blake Griffin.
This man, DeAndre Jordan still got potential too.
Andre Drummond, that's another one. Yeah.
Reggie Jackson.
I got a question about Rookie of the Year. Is it fair for basically red-shirted rookies to be thrown into the mix? I mean, what was it? Blake Griffin was the last one to sit out the first year and then came back and still won Rookie of the Year. Do you think it's fair?
I'm not going to say it.
I mean...
Caught a yawn.
Because Philly was low-key doing that on purpose, because that's the biggest problem, because... Philly was low key like. Oh,
bro, what happened to Markel Fultz? That's a side note. What happened to Markel Fultz, anyways?
I don't know.
Anyways,
how did he hurt himself? That's that Clipper curse in Philly.
Back to storyteller's question, though. But we'll get to Markel Fultz maybe in a second. But I just completely forgot about this guy. Anyways, moving back to what we were talking about, I don't really think it is just because I think they have such an advantage of training with NBA staff. Like over the off season, even before the rookies get there, because they're already with the team, you know. And even if they heal, like closer to the end of the season, they have all this time to train professionally, and they know what to expect. They get to sit courtside at all the games. They get to study the game. They all this stuff. But technically, they are rookies, since in order not to be qualified as rookie, you have to play a game, and they haven't played a game. But
yeah. I mean, low key though, like in the grand scheme of things, who really cares about Rookie of the Year though? Like,
that's
whose career was make or break because of Rookie of the Year? Like,
hey, Michael Carter Williams,
was it really make or break, or was it because he's trash now? Like,
if you're comparing like Magic and Larry, and you tell
like
me
he won Rookie of the Year,
so yeah, he had Rookie of the Year though. It's like what the who are you? I mean, like. I don't know.
That is, like, in the end, it's, like, one of the most irrelevant awards. Because, like, if you have an accomplished career, they shouldn't be leading off with saying winner of Rookie of the Year. And if that's the only thing that they do mention...
Your ass.
Then you didn't cash in on your potential. Yeah. That's simple. Yeah. So it's kind of like something you, it's like you better win it if you're going to be an all-time great, but it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a good indication, like, in the moment of what your future is, to know that you're really dominating like, out the gate. But
it's a feel-good award for the time. That's all it is. It's like, hey, I accomplished something my first year. That's dope.
Like, you know what? Does anybody watch, Open Court with all the old guys talking? Yeah. They always do an intro for each person, and they always mention Rookie of the Year for Chris Webber. Because he don't got shit. And I'm like,
that's all he got.
And every time I hear that, I'm just like, ah, damn! Like he really didn't accomplish a lot. Like they keep mentioning that. That's in his. Top three.
If I was Webber, I'd be like, you know what? Mention my All Star appearances. Don't mention Rookie of the Year. Say X time All Star or something. Sounds better.
But then you look at Chris Webber. It's just like.
Five-time All-Star. Yeah,
so,
right. Yeah.
So you're kind of leaning on that rookie.
Would you guys either have five All-Star appearances or one Rookie of the Year?
I mean, he got both.
But if you had to choose between one or the other, which career would be better? The guy who had five All-Stars or the guy who won Rookie of the Year? So you're basically saying
Michael Carter Williams or Michael Redd? Basically.
Yes. No, I'm saying like if you're in a group of legends, right? Like what would sound better? Rookie of the Year.
I mean, okay. So let's put these group of legendary
just
players.
Say Chris Webber. Just say Chris Webber. They don't need to know what I got.
So
Chris
you Webber. Have a room with a bunch of players that won Rookie of the Year. So you get your Chris Webbers, you get your Michael Carter Williams, your Tyreek Evans, and then you get your like five-time All-Stars, and that's it. So you get your Brandon Roys and your Michael Redds and your who else? Chris Webber.
Five-time All-Stars, Reggie Miller.
I would put the All NBA.
But what if they don't got one?
Yeah.
What
about Vince Carter's?
Vince all Carter. Rookie team.
How about
all
that?
Rookie team. Is that something we're gonna talk about?
All rookie team. We got the all rookie team. Chris Webber joining us.
Got the all rookie team member right here. What up?
Can you imagine a room full of all the players that got that was on the second team of all rookie team? Second team all rookie. Can you imagine that room?
Second team all rookie. Christ.
I'm asleep.
Bro, who got second? Was there a second team all rookie last year?
They shouldn't
have.
Cancel
that.
They better not have been one.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. And if it was, tell me who was on it. Jesus.
Yo, the only person who can brag about that is like somebody, like if you meet somebody's dad who you didn't even know played in the NBA.
I don't even think that would be.
He's like retired.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
And he's like, I was an all rookie team.
I have to disrespect your pops. I ain't gonna lie to you. Did you know my dad was on the all second team all rookie? Nigga, son. What? You think I came to you think that's impressive? You thought that was worth telling me that he was a second team all rookie? What else did you do, Michael Carter Williams, huh? Your dad's name was turned into Michael Carter Williams immediately if you tell me that.
Your dad had a worse career than Michael Carter Williams.
Like, what kind of crap is this? Like, honestly, anybody listening, if your dad just got a second team all rookie, don't ever tell nobody that. Was good in college.
So the guy, He had 6 years as a journeyman.
Just say he played in the NBA. All right. That's all you gotta say. You don't gotta say he was a second team all rookie, because you're just gonna sound ass. Even though that's...
That makes it worse, man. He's just not an NBA player. Like he's gonna run their imagination. Oh, maybe he was averaging 20 points per game, and then you look at his stats. Like, 5 points? What the fuck?
Like Brian Scalabrine said, bro. In 50 years, he could tell his great grandkids he won the MVP. They won't care, even though they could easily look it up and tell that he didn't. No one got to know that your dad's a scrub. Just saying, no one got to know.
That's a fact. But hey, real quick, Markelle Fultz, what's going on with
his shoulder?
Where'd this man go?
It was that shoulder, man.
Like he fell off the NBA map. Like you don't hear anything about
that's
this
good.
Guy anymore. It's like the Sixers are trying to erase him.
Don't erase him. Just don't keep no attention on him. Don't put no attention on him. Just let him develop in the shadows. And he comes back as Markel 2.0. He come out with Curry range for some reason because you've been working with him. Just no one has to know. Keep it in house. The Spurs do that the best. They keep everything in house. If you're hearing something about the Spurs organization, that means there's a rat and he's probably getting traded. Keep everything in house.
All right, I just did a quick search on Markel Fultz, and a new article actually popped up titled "Sixers Markel Fultz Expected to Ramp Up Recovery from Shoulder Injury."
He's expected to ramp up the
recovery. What does that mean? He's expected to recover. What the hell has he been doing?
Has he not been recovering?
What is going on?
It's not even the recovery time. Just the act of recovery.
That didn't even tell you what was going on. That just left you with more questions. What has he been?
It's like, hey, yo, man, I'm planning to recover. I might speed up that process where I start to recover. I don't know when.
What kind of slow ass surgery is that? Like,
there was no surgery.
He hasn't even got surgery yet.
Man, that's some IT shit, man.
He's just like, yo, I'm getting paid millions of dollars to play basketball. Who cares?
They haven't said what's going on with him.
That's kind of sketch.
The last thing I heard was a couple, maybe like 2 or 3 weeks ago, when Brian Colangelo said, oh, there's nothing wrong with Markel Fultz, it's all in his head. That's literally what he said.
He's not Andrew Luck.
Wow.
What kind of crap is that? And it's not all in his head.
Literally, if it was all in his head,
he wouldn't shoot like he's a dying cat. Have you seen him shoot? Like, that obviously is not in his head. It's in his shoulder. That's probably why he's not recovering, because you're telling him it's in his head. What kind of organization is...
Does anybody watch... Go ahead. Are there any baseball fans? Anybody watch baseball?
Nah, I'm good.
Not really.
Nah. I don't watch, but I that happens to pitchers where they just like forget how to pitch, and then they come up the next year and they just don't even know how to throw the ball.
I mean, baseball,
Markel Fultz has that.
Must it happen.
Whatever that is.
Baseball, whatever. basically, what you're telling me is baseball's ass. That's basically what you're telling me.
He's got. Athletic Alzheimer's.
Athletic Alzheimer's. Athletic Alzheimer's. That's a first.
He ain't playing this year. That's all I know.
Hell, he's not even recovering. He might not play next year.
This is intentional from the Sixers at this point. I don't know if they just like to have these super rookies, but he's not even going to be a rookie next year, but they just like to, hold their players out a year, train them. Hyperbolic time chamber, I'm telling you guys, they have
they must have one.
And they're using
it. They must have one.
They used it with Joel Embiid, they used it with Ben Simmons, and now they're using it with Markel.
They definitely didn't use it with Jahlil Okafor. You sit your ass at the end of the bench, you're good.
Bro, he's still not getting playing time in Brooklyn.
So was it because he couldn't get free, or was it because he's ass?
Nobody knows.
Oh, nah. People know. Nobody knows. People in Brooklyn right now.
But speaking of a trash, though, let's talk about these Nike jerseys. They released some new...
They're not that bad.
They released...
He says, speaking of...
Yo, I love his segues. You kidding me? That's great. That was grade A segue. All right.
They released some new city jerseys. They have a bunch of jerseys now. I know there's some... What are the other ones called? Stadium jerseys? And then there's something else. I know there's like one other one. But now there's... Icon jerseys, and now there's the city jerseys. I don't know if anyone of the viewers have seen them, but if you haven't, take a moment to Google Nike city jerseys so you can see what it's about. But have you guys seen them? What do you guys?
I've seen a couple of them.
Think about these.
I mean, some of them are ass. Some of them, like, I could have made that on 2K. But there's other ones that are like, there are other ones that are pretty good. The Lakers one is pretty good. I like the Bucks one. The Trailblazers one I've seen, I liked. The Timberwolves one, I heard people say it was ass. I actually like it. It's simple. But it,
you like
it's it simple. Look, it's just
you, if you like simple, you like the Memphis Grizzlies one?
I haven't seen it.
It's literally white and in black. It says Memphis. It's all white and in black.
Memphis is boring in general. Like, have you been to Memphis? Like, that fits Memphis. No, I haven't
never been to Memphis.
It's pretty boring. All right, it's pretty boring in Memphis. Shout out to Memphis. Y'all pretty boring. So that fits then.
How you shout out and roast?
That's not a roast, man. Some people love boring places, man. Sometimes you want to go somewhere.
People live in Memphis.
Yeah,
people basically live in Memphis must love boring places.
Hey, they're used to it. That's how bored they are. They just like, yeah. You're used to being bored.
But what do you guys think about Nike jerseys as a whole, with the whole rip things that's been happening, and then them not doing Christmas Day jerseys like Adidas had done for the past 5 or 6
it's
years?
It's Nike. What did you expect? Like, come on, man.
I mean, they got the contract. It's not like they're gonna like turn that over. Like, they don't have to do anything they don't want to do. You know, they can try out whatever they can try whatever materials they want. I feel like they're using it kind of as a test ground for new materials.
Oh, they better do.
It's, I mean, they don't have to answer to anybody at this point. Like, the contracts are ironclad. They are signed. Every jersey could rip off in the middle of the finals, and they're just to sit there and cash their checks.
So you think this is partly on the NBA's fault for not wanting to see the product in action before they sign the contract? Like, hey, give us some test samples.
But this isn't the first time the NBA has done this, where they just get some shit and they think it's supposed to be nice, and they go with it without testing it, and it ends up being ass. Like, no, anybody remember the basketballs that cut players' fingers? That's retarded. Why are basketball cutting fingers? Like, the NBA is the league of let's try shit out without testing.
I think that's an urban legend.
It literally cut fingers. The players took pictures of it and shit. Like, you can go look that up. It actually cut their fingers.
Was it Derrick Rose?
It was Ray Allen's finger. I want to say Ray Allen.
When was this?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know Ray Allen was one of the first players like to actually talk about it. Oh, he wasn't the first, but I can remember he was one of the ones to talk about it. Ray Allen, Shaq said something about it, and who else?
First of all, that man Ray Allen shoots way too much. He practiced way too much.
He probably got blisters on his fingers.
He did.
And everything.
He said it.
That's just natural basketball blisters.
Nah, not when your fingers are bleeding. Dirk said it too. His fingers are bleeding, like from with the ball. So the NBA has a history of not testing shit out that ends up being ass. So I'm not surprised that players' jerseys are ripping away like goddamn tearaway jerseys. This is Nike. Have you felt the shit they've made like shirts with? I'm surprised. I'm not surprised they tear away.
But how are you supposed to test on that scale?
I mean, get some...
just a slight tug.
I mean, never mind.
I'm about to say, like, before you sign the contract, have them present the jerseys. At least have them present 5 jerseys for 5 different teams and how they're going to plan on making them.
And what, have like 5 guys go wrestle in them or something? Like, what
you
what
take
the
older you take the jerseys that you have now and you do a wear and tear test. I mean, you
Isaiah
just...
and Magic to go wrestle in the back. Like, I mean, there's something different that happens in an NBA game that doesn't happen in practice. It doesn't happen. I mean, people say that all the time. You got to get
still,
the game speed.
Like, I don't think the NBA ever thought going into this, hey, these jerseys could rip.
I mean, but still.
These jerseys might not be the best quality.
But these jerseys look so flimsy that you can literally pull at them, like, normally, and they'll probably, you'll hear them start to unstitch. Like, these jerseys look very fragile. I'm not surprised that they are ripping how they are constantly.
Probably just saw the design. Nike probably did show them some designs of what the jerseys were going to look like. They were like, oh, those look okay. Signed it. Done deal. Simple as that.
But how many has actually, what, a dozen have ripped? 20, maybe?
Yeah. Out of the, I mean, but how many
hours at this point that
but
they've been
how
played
many
in?
Jerseys ripped last
but
year?
Still, it's like how many Adidas jerseys ripped over the past 5 or 6 years?
The sleeve ones, but.
I mean, LeBron ripped the sleeves off himself. Like, players.
Oh, never mind. Those weren't repeated.
LeBron did it himself.
Man, I'm tired of this.
That was LeBron trying.
I mean, how many Adidas jerseys usually rip? That then if you can see a significant increase in jerseys ripping, then you know for a fact it's Nike. And you can imagine that it could go up. Who knows? It could have a spike and it'd be way more than just the normal amount of jerseys. But if on average it's way more jerseys than usual with Adidas, then you're in a negative. You failed. You picked some shitty jerseys, man.
Well, then look at it this way. Is a ripped jersey in a game
bad? I mean, listen.
It's a bad look for the company that makes it.
I mean, it generates a shit ton more conversation about NBA related stuff. Well, I mean, that's a stretch of a conversation there, but
I guess not bad for the jerseys. NBA. The NBA probably doesn't care as much, but Nike.
I mean,
Nike,
unless you see like some random player get his shit ripped and he has a swastika tatted on his chest and shit, like I don't know. Unless somebody comes out as a closet racist or something and it's on his chest and he just doesn't want you to see, then I can't see where it would be an issue. Unless the shorts start ripping, then we really gonna have issues. If the shorts start to rip, nigga, come on. Step it up, Mikey.
That's true. But you guys want to add anything else about any of these topics? We had the three most impressive championships of all time. LeBron frustrated at the refs. We had the Isaiah Thomas, Magic Johnson beef, Kyle Kuzma, Rookie of the Year. We talked about some other things in there, like, what was it, Markelle Fultz, and then rigged games, stuff like that, jerseys. We had a lot of topics this podcast.
We did.
We didn't even really talk about what we had planned to talk about. We kind of went off on our own thing, but it was pretty dope.
I'm saying. Yeah, it was pretty dope.
I apologize for meandering randomly.
No, that's the good stuff.
The good stuff.
Good.
It's natural conversation.
Yeah. But I think I'm all set with the topics.
I think it's clear that the most impressive championship was LeBron and the Cavs coming back from 3-1. That seemed to be a consensus. I think potential is clearly overrated. Isaiah was the biggest bitch. And, you know, I don't know about ripped jerseys. Somebody else has to summarize that one. Wrap that one up.
Ripped jerseys.
Don't have swastikas.
What happens?
Jerseys. Don't have bad tattoos.
Don't have...
ripped jerseys.
Oh.
He said, that's a you problem after that.
I think this had potential to be a really good podcast. Anyways, I guess that's going to do it for this episode, guys. Thank you for tuning in to episode 4 of The Dish. Once again, we had our guest, NBA Storyteller. You want to say goodbye to the people where they can find you, anything like that?
NBA Storyteller, YouTube, the only thing that pops up when you type in NBA Storyteller. And again, the Michael Beasley of YouTube. Your favorite YouTuber's favorite YouTuber.
I like that.
Let me work. I'm going to workshop that.
That's low key effect? No, low key
I'm your favorite YouTuber's favorite YouTuber. Always remember
that. And thank you. And listen to me. Thank you. Each and every one of you, you guys are doing great work. I admire all of you, if I can be sincere for a moment. And this was a lot of fun. I really appreciate it.
Hey, same goes to you, man. I've been subscribed for like a couple months now. The videos you put out are amazing.
So. Yeah, they're really entertaining.
I've heard a lot about you. I haven't seen any of your videos yet, but I'm going to have to check some out. Pretty cool.
I'll wait
for the day. Yeah, that'll be a big day. I'm waiting for that comment. With just one little comment and one little video. Go to the beginning. That's where the weird stuff is.
I like it weird. Bet.
First of all, pause. He said he liked it weird.
That was perfect. Are you kidding me?
Unpause. What you mean?
Chill out, man.
That's how we end off the dish.
Pause. All right, but Dom, other than you like it weird, you want to say anything else?
All right, pause, bro. You can't say it like that. Hold on. You can't just throw it before my outro. All right, man. Thank y'all for coming out for episode 4 of The Dish. I hope you cleaned your plate. Hope you dished out that good stuff out here, man. And just remember, I'm your mom's favorite midnight snack. Y'all have a good night. Have a good night, day, evening, wherever you are. I don't know what time it is when you're watching this.
All right. Beasles, how you like it? What you want to say?
Oh, pause! He said, how you like it?
How you like it?
Yo, chill out, yo.
How you like it, Beasles?
Yo, chill. We're trying to stay on the FCC airways. Chill out. Hey, man, thank y'all for coming out. Episode 4. Again, follow me, B-Souls. Y'all know where to find me. And again, thanks to NBA Storyteller for stopping by for this episode. But, yeah, we'll see y'all next time.
All right, that's going to do it, guys. Thanks again for watching The Dish. Peace.
Flo here with a really weird word, buttery. Buttery? It's not quite butter, it's more butterish. Or maybe buttery is like butchery or bakery, a shop that sells artisanal butter products. Dig in, America. Now a word that's even more weird, Flotection. Sure, it's not really a word, but it is really good protection for your new home through me and Progressive. No ifs, ands, or butteries about it. Sorry.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.